Boom! Welcome to episode 3, hashtag Fab Movement. Let's start off with a power move. Tony Robbins taught me that, about waking up your nervous system, which is the biggest gift that we have as human beings. So today we're going to talk about, most importantly, how we can provide value to you, to the listeners, in terms of your medical journey. We're also going to be talking about burnout, passion, and what drives you. Thank God. Fortunately, we have at All Things Healthcare, Adam, who we're going to be interviewing. He is currently a medical student, just took his USMLE Step 1. We're going to talk about his journey and how he motivates others. Boom, bring the pain. All right, boom. Welcome to Fab Movement, episode 3. We got Adam here from Albert Einstein Medical School, at allthingshealthcare.com. So briefly about, so this is Fab Movement. What we want to do is that we want to inspire the younger generation to be M, motivated, V, valiant, M, magnificent, N, noble, and T, tenacious, because you got to bring the tenacity to this field. Follow your passion, follow your heart, and that tenacity comes. So briefly about me, I'm Dr. Fabi, David Fabi. I'm in San Diego, orthopedic surgeon, primarily focused on hip and knee replacements. I consider myself an innovator, early adopter, whether that's right or wrong, but I like to keep kind of being at the tip of the spear of things. But enough about me. This is all about you guys. So this is Adam here. We talked about him already. So where he's at in his career is that he just took his USMLE. He's a medical student at Albert Einstein. He's a grinder. He's motivated. And most importantly, he helps motivate other people in terms of studying for their MCAT and the younger generation as well. So he's in line with what we're talking about here with the Fab Movement. So so briefly, Adam, tell us about yourself, man.
How's it going? Yeah, thanks for having me. So a little about me. I grew up on Long Island, New York, went to Cornell. I studied biology and nutrition there. And then I went straight through to medical school. So I know a lot of students, especially now, take some years off, which I think is a great thing. For me, it just kind of worked out that I had all my prereqs in line and had known from the very beginning that I wanted to be pre-med. So I was able to go right into medical school. And I now am just starting my third year at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx. I just finished step one of the boards and actually just finished this weekend my psych rotation. So that was my first rotation, took the shelf exam.
Sorry to interrupt. So who was reaching out to you during your studying to help kind of motivate you, help pump you up?
You were, Dr. Fabi.
No, that's important to me, man. I hope it helped you out. I hope it helped you out.
Yeah, so, no, it definitely did. It was a long grind. You gotta start studying in advance. And like our school had like, we actually lost a week of dedicated this year, which was a little tough, but we had about 5 weeks of just straight dedicated time. So you're really going 12, 14 hours a day, every day in the library.
Got it.
And I'm sure as you know, just gotta get through that, take the boards and peak at right when you're taking them, because it is a ton of information to know, and a lot of it seems like it's abstract and random facts that you just have to memorize, but you gotta do it. It's an important part of the path to becoming a doctor. And so that was a tough time, but it was helpful having mentors such as yourself to help me through it.
Yeah, so let's, you know, that's a great subject that we can touch upon right now. You talked about studying habits, you know, being that I'm a little far removed from that, but you're a lot closer to that, mm-hmm. particularly with pre-med and medical school. For those that are watching, you know, I'm sure they want to learn what type of study habits that you employ that are good, but also what works for them. So you kind of already touched upon
Absolutely.
That a little bit.
Yeah. No, I could definitely get into that. This is like a topic I'm really passionate about. What I found, because I do, so the whole reason even the Instagram started was I was doing MCAT tutoring for one of the big test prep companies, and I eventually left and decided I was going to try and start my own thing and get some students. So I like made the Instagram account, started putting out some content. And one thing I noticed is that a lot of students just don't have the right study habits in place, especially starting off as pre-med. You really early, just came out of high school. Everything was easy in high school for the most part in comparison. Yeah. And then you get your butt kicked the second you get to college and take your intro chemistry class or something like that.
Yeah.
So a couple of things in terms of studying that I found is really helpful is one, front loading a lot of the work in your classes. So a lot of students will like just go to class, barely pay attention, and then try to teach themselves the content afterwards, like maybe on the weekend or late at night when they're already tired after a full day. So what I have a lot of my students do is before that class even starts, they're starting to learn that material. So that way when they go to class, they've already studied it and they kind of have a decent understanding. You don't have to know it perfectly. And then you just listen in class, it's more relaxed, so, and you're letting the professor fill in the gaps for you, as opposed to just trying to learn it all while maintaining attention for like 2 hours during these lectures, which is pretty hard to do. And that's actually one of the reasons you see a lot of medical school lectures are becoming like outdated. A lot of it's online, and a lot of students don't even show up to, unfortunately, lectures anymore because of that.
No, I love that. That's a brilliant idea, because repetition is the mother of skill. So if you kind of bring that, and another thing I came across, that I'm implementing is, I've always woke up early, but now I'm really focused on that time because that's the time where you're most productive. So if you wake up early in the morning, get through your material and then bring that to class, that kind of helps it absorb a lot better. And when I was in medical school, I guess one of my things, now I don't want to propose not going to class, but kind of temper that because for me, I was falling asleep a lot in class and I felt that was kind of wasted time. But I love that idea. I love that idea. That's awesome.
I'll take it one step further. I actively tell my students if it's a class that is record, like if there's no recording and there's no other way to get the material, like you need to go to class, obviously. But a lot of these classes, especially in medical school, which is really nice that school does it, are not required and it's all online. Everything's recorded. So I'll be able to get 2 to 3 times the work in by waking up early. So like a typical day for me during second year was I'd wake up like 5:30, be studying and preparing everything from 6 to 8 and learning the lectures on my own. And then I'll like watch it on 1.5 speed, like the second the recording comes out.
I love it.
And that's it. That was like the third time, honestly, I've seen the material as opposed to the first where you really were sitting in class on Facebook, not even paying attention. And then it's just like you said, those extra reps that you get in. And honestly, I don't feel like I'm losing any time because I was up early. I was preparing for it, then watching the lecture on a faster speed, which like now I can't watch anything on 1x speed. It sounds so
No.
slow.
Dude, that's brilliant because like for me, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And I go at 2.0 speed. I can't go to 1.0 speed. I'm gonna start going at 2.5 speed. I've dabbled in that, not entirely ready for it. But that way you burn through material. And they actually say that if you go at a higher speed, you can absorb more, because you are kind of have to tune in a little more. So I like where you're at with that. Another principle that you hit upon, Grant Cardone is one of my biggest inspirers. And he talks about don't manage time, control time. Meaning, you can find ways and be resourceful to really to control your time. He doesn't believe in the concept of balance. He says that you can make time to be excellent at whatever you're doing. It doesn't have to be career. It doesn't mean that you're losing by going all in on one thing. You can lose on another thing. So I love that principle. I love where you're at. So keep going, man. Keep going. So tell us about yourself. So growing up, what if I ask you right now, what do you find that looking back motivated you? What brings this work ethic that you got?
No, it's a good question. A lot of it, I have to say, like was really internal. Like I was a very competitive person, but never to the point where I was like a sore loser or anything like that. Like in sports, I was always like I really wanted to do my best, always wanted to win, but like if I took an L, like that was just a learning opportunity. So I never got like salty about anything like that. But I kind of just took that into really everything that I did, especially academics. I kind of like, I think I figured out early on that I was, especially when you're like, the competition gets steeper as you go up in levels. But like early on in middle school, high school, it's like you kind of figure out like if you have a knack for academics and the book smart type of thing. And that was something that I found like really came easy to me. And so I really always tried to push myself to the next level on that, which is kind of how I like segued into obviously choosing one of the hardest careers, which would be pre-med, and then obviously medical student, and then hopefully a resident in the upcoming years and just going through that journey. So I was always trying to push myself, learn more. Like, I really love to learn. Like, that was just something that was kind of ingrained in me. And so that was where I guess my drive kind of came from, is just my own desire to better myself. Rather than, it wasn't like my parents never said, like, this is the path that you need to go on. Like, they were very, very supportive. And I think that also shaped me a lot, was they kind of let me do whatever I felt like I wanted to in regards to, you know, my career, just making decisions unrelated to that. And so I found like I was lucky that I had a really good, stable support system growing up. And that allowed me to kind of push myself. That's kind of how I got to where I am today.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. I think, you know, having a competitive nature, I think, is important to success. But, you know, kind of going back to that, expounding upon that more. Yeah, I was a sore loser growing up. Maybe I am a little bit, but that's my authenticity right there. But, you know, I always was competitive with others, you know, and now I'm flipping that to be competitive with myself. You know, wherever that falls in the pecking order in terms of me being competitive with myself and being the best that I can be, I have no control over that. I think that's a great way to live, you know, because if you're being competitive with others, you know, that can lead to a lot of resentment. So that's awesome, yeah, man. And you touched upon a lot of things also. You know, I think there's a lot of parallels. I'm a big sports guy. It seems like you're a big sports guy too. There's a lot of parallels between
recovering right now from an ACL surgery.
Yes, yes. That each level that you go up, like, I'm sure, you know, in academics in high school, like, you were the top of the top, right? And then you get to Cornell, which is big time. You know, you're leveling up because every pre-med there was the top of the top too. So either you either stay stagnant, which is, I think if you stay stagnant, you're not growing. You're kind of going backwards. But you either level up and you grow, you know, because that's the way. It's like these All-Americans, high school All-Americans. They get to college. Everybody's an All-American, you know.
Exactly. So,
The speed changes.
It's a great point you bring up, because I got to Cornell, and a lot of it also is your own mindset of like, can you push yourself to the next level? Because I remember I got to Cornell, the first ever class that I had an exam in was this comparative physiology class that was like apparently notoriously hard, but I didn't know that at the time. And so the first grade I got was like a 68, and I was like, holy fuck. Like, I was like, should I not be pre-med? Like, what's going on here? Like, how did I, like, I always just did the same thing. It was like, I would read the textbook, read the notes, and then like go to the test and usually be able to get a really good grade from that. Little did I know that's kind of a really terrible way to study, and my habits have changed over the years, which we kind of talked about a little bit. But so I got to this exam, took it, got this terrible grade, and like I realized, like, wow, everyone around me is now really smart. Like, you need to kind of step it up and figure out what works for you. And then ever since that test, I pretty much aced every single class. I even ended up just squeaking out the A in that one, which was really nice, coming far back from the 68 on the first exam.
It's a comeback
and
trail.
Then so I was like, wow, like, so I basically graduated Cornell with almost straight A's, and then I got to medical school, and then again you're leveling up, and I like started getting like slightly above average on the exams, and I was like, wow, now everybody here is the same, like, not everyone, but like was doing really well in their colleges and respective degrees, and now you're competing against them. And so like you kind of have to then realize that it's not a competition with other people, it should just be a competition with yourself. And if you do the best that you know you can do, then that's all you should be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, a great quote that I came across, someone told me, is like, you're responsible for your effort. You're not responsible for your outcome. You know, at the end of the day, if you can look at yourself in the mirror and be like, you know what, I brought the best that I could today. You know, that's all one can ask for. You know, yeah, I mean, that's so, how serendipitous, man, because I remember my first organic chemistry test. I think I got the same score. I think I got a 68. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I got to find another career. I don't know if I can do this. But kind of like what you, probably not kind of, but what you did, I doubled down for the next test. And like I squeaked out that A too. So, hey, there's no coincidences. I think that's awesome.
I kind of realized then that like you have to just constantly adapt, and like what worked before is not always going to work in the future. So like I never was the person that had to go to office hours or anything like that. And then I realized, all right, this professor thinks in a very specific way, and that's how he tests. So when I went to his office hours, I was kind of able to get an idea of things he liked to focus on, like how he thought about things, and that helped me think that way when I got to the exams. And so like every time I take a new class, I kind of try to figure out, all right, what do I have to do well in this class, and what study skills may I have to change up? And there are different skills that we can go into more later that I are better in tune for specific classes, whether it's heavy in memorization or it's more abstract and critical thinking. You kind of have to figure out what that is and then adapt your study habits to that to do well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So
That's what it
I
is.
think an important topic that always kind of speaks to us is the topic of burnout. You know, I think in our career it's rampant. And you know,
Very.
there's a formula as to how you can navigate that. You know, I think with experience you kind of learn more and more. But it's a real thing. It's a tough thing, you know. So I'm sure not just in high school. I know in high school for me, more college, I started experience burnout in medical school also, because I
Yeah,
think it,
definitely.
I think it's inherent on us as type A personalities. Just like, you know what, we feel guilty if we're not working, you know, but there's a law of diminishing returns. So meaning if you keep grinding, like 7 days of hard work where you're working at average is not as productive as 6 days of where you're at peak. So
100%. Yeah. What's your thoughts on like ways to prevent burnout? How do you do that for yourself?
You know, I think first and foremost, you got to recognize it. You know,
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I know signs of feeling burnout. You know, one, I'm not concentrating as well. You know, two, kind of absorbing or kind of it's kind of mush. You know, it's not what it was like the day before or the week before. So I kind of, you know, I had to force myself to take a day off, get back to other things like working out, good habits, you know, kind of spending time with friends, hanging out, whatnot, watching sports. And that kind of gets me out of it, you know. And then once, you know, I felt like I had enough ample time off, I went into it. So, you know, a game changer book that I read was The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. He did Chicken Soup for the Soul. He talks about, yeah, I mean, most successful people, quote unquote, and I'm not talking about successful in career, I'm successful in life,
This
is
is another
that
thing.
you got to take a day off a day, you know. So, but I think everybody's different. You kind of find what works for you. Also, an important thing that I've come to realize is that burnout happens less and less if you have the right perspective, if you're doing what you're passionate about, you know, because if you're working at a 9 to 5 and you're not happy about it, that's going to lead to burnout, you know,
Dude, yeah,
because yeah, it's not speaking
100%.
to your heart. Because like when you're passionate, your heart and your mind, your body just kind of the energy there is infinite. It's kind of it's an amazing thing. It's magic. So
I've definitely seen it even like in medical school, like myself. I think the way for me that I was able to,
Sorry, go ahead.
oh yeah, no worries. The way I was kind of able to prevent burnout, at least within the first 2 years, is just that I found other things that I was passionate about. So I always felt like I, in a way, it was like balanced, but yet it was not balanced because it was like to the extreme because I was doing so many different things. But through that, I actually felt more balanced because, you know, I didn't feel like I was only a medical student. Like it wasn't like this is the only thing I do in my life. I just sit and study every day. Like, yes, there's a lot of that, but like I also had other passions like working on, you know, my company and tutoring students and mentoring and building the Instagram account and like making relationships. And there was like a lot that honestly kept me and doing like learning about business and all that kept me balanced in regards to feeling burnt out, even though I'm kind of adding something else to my plate, if that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. You know, I think part, you know, you got to stay fulfilled, right? Because
Exactly.
there comes to a point where, yeah, I mean, studying, working hard fulfills you, but then there comes a point where it stops fulfilling you temporarily. So you got to find other things that fulfill you, whether that's, you know, hanging out, all that stuff. So, no, that's awesome, man. You know, I think burnout is real. It's going to happen, but instead of kind of just falling in the same patterns, you know, insanity, you know, is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So you got to find avenues to kind of get you out of that. So, yeah, that's awesome.
What did you find in regards to residency? Cause I know that's kind of a whole nother ball game, and it's like almost where you don't, I obviously haven't gone through it, so I don't know. That's why I'm asking, but it seems like your time is not really your own for the most part as you're going through residency.
No. And I, you know, I'm glad that you asked about that, you know, because, you know, it's a way for me, hopefully to mentor you as you kind of go there, you know, cause, and that goes back to what we're talking about, you know, you're leveling up again, you know, because when I went into ortho, you know, I was like, wow, you know, this is a whole different field, whole different ballgame. You know, everybody works kind of all Americans in medical school, you know? So, you know, kind of at that point in my life, you know, I wasn't entirely comfortable in my skin. I was a lot of insecurities. And what I saw, there's a lot of people that were smarter than me, you know, and I'm like, man, these kids are smart. You know, what am I doing here? But, you know, what I realized is that I always had hard work in my DNA, you know, so like, yeah, they may be smart, but they're not going to work harder than me. You know, Malcolm Gladwell, also one of my favorite books, Outliers, he talks about you just have to be smart enough. You know, you got to bring an IQ of at least 120. 120 IQ, everything else is just hard work, passion, and diligence. So that's what I brought to the table. You know, I studied a lot. You know, this is when we got in the 80-hour work rule, you know, but I fashioned myself that, you know, I'm going to be old school. You know, I'm going to work, you know, as many hours as possible. Course on paper, but 80 hours on paper. I mean, they have the OITEs, which is your in training exam, and I just started studying that off the bat, because not only does that help me with my scores and help me with my standing in my class, but also you know, kind of help me educate and be top notch. And
Are those exams you take during residency?
Yes.
Like as you're prepared going through it? Okay.
Yeah. You take it every November, and it's supposed to kind of help you for your written boards at the end of the day. You know, also, you know, every time I went into a case, I read beforehand. You know, I was proactive. You know, I went the extra mile. You know, I wanted to overcommit. I wanted to overdeliver. I wanted to do things that others weren't willing to do. You know, I think that's the mindset that you got to bring. Such that you can separate yourself. One thing that I didn't do, which, you know, when you get there, I don't want you to make the same mistake, is that I was scared to ask questions, you know, for fear of looking ignorant, you know. Mm-hmm. And what you can glean from a mentor, say you try to, I would try to have that question, I go home and study it myself. But that really slowed down my learning curve. You know, what can take 5 years to learn on your own honestly can take one day if you really kind of speak to a mentor about it. So I think that's an important formula for doing it. So just know that, yeah, it's sacrifice that's involved, but I think, and I didn't, but you got to appreciate all those little victories that you have along the way, whether it's one day be like, man, I operated well today. I'm growing towards my vision, towards my career, but I'm also appreciating this moment. So I think those things that are coming off the top of my head that you can glean, and, you know, as you go through it, honestly, please reach out to me. So, yeah.
So then, my battery's about to run out of me. So then, with that said, it seems like, which is the answer I was expecting, kind of, is that you do have to obviously go the extra mile during residency, but then how do you, at the same time, did you ever feel burnt out, or like, how did you then?
Yeah, no, dude, it happened, you know, and, you know, luckily, you know, with, you know, it's not like you don't have time off, you know, it's one of those things where you got to recognize burnout as well. So at that point, you know, I'd work out maybe three days a week, which was not where I like to be, but, you know, it was something, you know, it's even if it was like 15 minutes of something is better than nothing, you know? So that was important. I made sure if I had the weekend off, I hung out with friends, you know, just, you know, watching sports, just finding other avenues that I was passionate about, you know. Yeah, and then a good thing is, you know, particularly intern year. You know, intern year is where most of the time you're doing general surgery. You know, there's a good thing that says eat when you can, sleep when you can, leave when you can, you know. I don't know about the leave when you can, but, you know, yeah, definitely, definitely sleep when you can, you know. Some people think that the formula for success, part of it is sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't last.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that, because that's what I tell all my students as well. You got to sleep as much as you can. Otherwise, you're just not going to be productive.
Yeah, no doubt. So, that's important. Whether you're a 6 hour person or 8 hour person, you got to find out what your average is to get you productive and maintain that, you know? So, studying for my OITEs, that's a prime example where I've started feeling burnout, and it was inherent in me to just keep going, keep grinding, you know, but luckily, you know, I had a support network that just that would just tell me, you know, you gotta chill out, you gotta take some time off. And I think that's important, because there's sometimes we're the worst judge of ourselves. So you need someone with a more objective standpoint to tell you, you know, your energy level is not where it should be. So So good question. Way to flip it back on me. I love it.
Sorry, I keep doing that.
Yeah. So what else do you like to do in your free time? You mentioned it, sports, virtual reality is a big thing to you. That kind of speaks to you.
I'm just dabbling in it. I saw so my aunt, she runs part of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So and the Digital Health Summit. So like years back, I was helping working on that. And I saw like all this digital health stuff that was just so cool, and like not anything you would see like kind of when you're in medical school or like really just even in practice yet, because it's all stuff that's like up and coming. So I saw a lot of VR, like orthopedic training, a company, Oso VR. You've used it before. And so I was just like, this is pretty interesting, and kind of got into it a little bit. And it's just something I've been keeping an eye on in terms of maybe potentially doing some research in that, kind of combine the two passions. That was cool. I also, I mean, non-academic related, I guess it's still kind of a med school related, but like building the Instagram and putting out content and mentoring other students is really what I do in a lot of my free time.
And how good does that feel when you do
that? Dude, it's great. It's like, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I love it. That's why I'm sure you know, but like I put so many hours in talking to students throughout the last 2.5 years while I was in medical school that I almost think I don't even know how like I fit that time in, but it's just like something that I like to do in my free time. So it works out. And then, go to the gym, I love playing soccer and basketball is when I'm not recovering from ACL surgery, what I like to do in my free time.
So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, I mean, being that, orthopedics is both something that we're both passionate about. You did it playing basketball.
Yeah. It was like 2 months. It was during basically finals week of med school. I tore it. I was playing we have like an intramural league here at the med school. And there's like people from the local Bronx area that play in it also, which is fun. I was running back on D, took a bad step, kind of like got caught up under this guy as he was going in for a layup, and just heard it pop, knew immediately. I'd actually done it before playing soccer on my other leg. Oof. So I knew, and they were like, do you want to go to the ER? I was like, I think I'll go see the orthopedist tomorrow, because I knew I was going to go in, and they were basically going to tell me to
go see an orthopedist,
go to the orthopedist, go get an MRI. So that's basically what happened. And then I just got the I waited to get the surgery after I took step, because I kind of didn't want to be dealing with that and the recovery of that while studying.
That's a true grinder right there.
So I waited, and then I just got off the crutches a few weeks ago. So I was actually doing most of my psych rotation on crutches, but luckily I had psych first. So not too much physical exam stuff. It wasn't too bad,
but still, it's still difficult nonetheless. So
yeah, it was still a pain.
I love your story post about your rehab, man. That's inspiring. So yeah, it's good stuff. Thanks. Yeah,
appreciate it.
So what do you got lined up for the rest of the day?
Ooh, so today, right after this, I'm going to be meeting with a two students actually. Sometimes like usually like we'll have designated me I'll have like designated meetings with them, and then I do like a monthly group meeting with all the students. But one of them had like an emergency come up, so I'm gonna like work in some time, and then I'm just gonna I've been working on catching up on some research. I'm trying to get some manuscripts out because I kind of took the foot off the pedal for that while I was studying for the boards as well. So trying to get back into that and getting out a bunch of manuscripts that we were close to publishing. So
awesome, bro. Awesome. So yeah, you know, I invite, you know, I'm sure you're already helping people, you know, just anyone that's out there, you know, DM me, you know, DM Adam to really help out with this movement. You know, it's a very important cause to me because, you know, the younger generation, I'm sure you experience it. You know, we get a lot of noise and you guys get a lot of noise.
There's a lot of noise, a lot of noise. Yeah.
Just don't do it. The money's not there. There's too many challenges. But you know what? If your passion is there, all the rest falls into place, you know? So really follow your heart. Yes, your heart has to be in it. That's probably one piece of advice that I agree with. They're like, don't do medicine unless your heart is really into it, which it is. Don't deny that, you know, don't deny this world of your passion, because each and every one of us has a purpose. And if our purpose is to be in healthcare and help others, man, roll with it. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I like, this is what I work with students all the time on, especially a lot that are discouraged because they're not, their scores aren't high enough or so they think. But if you're persistent, there's a lot of ways you can get into medical school. And if it takes two application cycles or three application cycles or restudying for the MCAT or whatever it is, if this is something that you're passionate about doing, I always recommend to go for it and keep going for it.
Yeah.
Because we need doctors, we need hardworking doctors that are like that are passionate about it. So you'll be able to get that. You'll get into medical school if you put in the work and you're actually dedicated to it.
Preaching truth, brother. Preaching truth. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that take gap years, and that to me that's inspiring because they haven't given up on their dream. You know, that true failure is when you quit. So yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So yeah, you know, I just want to thank you for your time, man. I'm glad we're able to connect through Instagram. I'm excited about the opportunity to finally meet you in person. You know?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to come out there, spend a day.
Hey, doors
open. See some of those robotic surgeries you've been doing.
Doors always open, brother. And then, you know, hey, we'll get working on this virtual reality thing. You know, it's gonna explode.
Sounds
you know?
Good. Yeah.
All right. So thanks again, man. Really appreciate it. Have a great Sunday. You know, keep in touch. I'll keep in touch. No, definitely. And you know, good luck on the recovery. So good stuff.
Thank
man.
You.
Good stuff.
I appreciate it. All keep right. in touch.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Later.